Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City. And I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on one of the most beautiful days of the year so far. And we meet here on the internet once a week to talk to you about what's going on in your heavens and your charts and your stars so you can work productively with the energy. And I am joined by my delightful co-host, Mark.
Mark Waltz, also in New York City. Same weather. And we haven't seen this weather since September.
I know. It's so great. I love this kind of weather. Yeah, it makes me very happy. Happy, happy, happy. So, yeah, it's definitely really fun. And when we have this kind of weather, we go, okay, yeah, let's go. And I had somebody come today and clean my windows. So my assistant came. She goes, I didn't realize how dirty they were, you know, because it's like sunlight streaming in. I'm like, I know, they're really shiny and bright. So I'm feeling, in addition to having these beautiful spring day, I have spring windows that have been cleaned. And then I repotted all my plants. So I'm really feeling very virtuous today. Good Virgo moon gets you feeling kicking a little butt and clearing the stuff up. So
and
what have you been noticing in the week, huh?
Sun in Taurus too.
Oh, I know, sun in Taurus. Yeah.
You said, you know, we're now definitely in the season of spring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When
and all the cherry blossom trees are
early
blooming.
Spring, but the cherries are cherry blossoms are out all over.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Truly gorgeous, yeah. And we definitely have an enormous, what's the right word for it? An enormous energy of whoosh. Right now, Venus, the ruler of the Taurus sun, is out of bounds. And she will be until June 7th. And somebody asked me to explain what out of bounds meant, so I will. There's a thing called declination. Now, we know the zodiac. We know where the planets are in your chart. And then using declination, which is where the planets are on the face of the earth, how high they are above and below the equator. So if they're, they're above the equator, they're north, and if they're below the equator, they're south. And the sun, of course, we know, goes to the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn every year in its journey because Earth is tipped 23 degrees, 27 minutes, and so it goes 23 degrees high, 27 minutes, and then it comes back down again. It goes down 23 degrees, 27 minutes below the equator. That's the Tropic of Capricorn. And all the planets are supposed to follow the sun because the sun's the boss of the sky. But every now and then, a planet gets a little wild and goes a little crazy and goes out of bounds. And this week, Venus is out of bounds, and she is till June 7th. And Mercury goes out of bounds on May 1st, Friday. And Mars is going to go out of bounds next month. So the personal planets, Venus, Mercury, and Mars, are all going out of bounds, which means we're going to be watching things go a little wild. So I think, in my mind, Mark, the riots in Baltimore, of course, but there was the mother whacking the kid on the head, which was, you know, filmed yelling, yeah, nah, 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 was definitely a little Venus out of bounds there. And, of course, he's like, ducking, and I'm like, what's that about? And it's like, oh, it's his mother. Okay. He can't. And, you know, that's Venus out of bounds. So we watch the energy. So watch for the feminine to be a little wild and crazy. And, of course, it rules Taurus sun. So, he didn't hit his mother back. He just kind of ducked. So what have you been noticing? That was my favorite version of the story.
Yeah. And we have full moon coming up. We'll have the full moon with the moon in Scorpio.
Yes. And that's the Buddha moon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Heather always says that. Yeah.
It comes along with Beltane.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the halfway point of spring. And it's a good time. It's very 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 much earth energy. We really feel the earth and smell the earth and you can get out and move around. So it's really a very special time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And talk about Beltane, what that is. That's a nice celebration because it's a cross-quarter time. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a long time celebration and ritual that's been around, and basically celebrating that point in the calendar where we are halfway between Aries and Cancer.
The midpoint, right?
The midpoint, yep.
The midpoint. So halfway between Aries and Cancer means we're halfway through spring. Da-da-da-da!
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Right. And also, Beltane was, in the old days, in the pagan days, that's when we would go plow the fields, literally. They would dance around the maypole and get naked, and they'd jump over the fire, and then they'd go play in the fields and have lots of sex and help Mother Earth create. Too bad that we learned how babies are really made. I mean, we know how babies are made, but it was like, that sounded like a lot of fun. And I have to say, whenever I heard about it, I thought, really? That's what they're going to do on Beltane? You know, how come we don't have Beltane here? You know, we made maypole. We made Mary processions. But May, right. You know, a lot of the Christian holidays landed on the pagan holidays because they were already going to get together and party anyway. Let's just kind of make it be a Christian holiday, and eventually they'll forget it's the pagan holiday. So May Day, which is when Beltane actually happens, it's a cross quarter day, and it's like the one in August, and the one at Halloween, and then this is the one in the spring. So we're good for it, and it always is a fun holiday because it's a lot about planting the seeds and making things grow. And this week, with full moon, is right on that. But it's also the Buddha moon, you know, because the Buddha was enlightened under the Bodhi tree on the Scorpio full moon. So it's a very ripe moon, and it also takes us back to on November 3rd, 2013, when the new moon happened in Scorpio. So the story from then and from last summer should be culminating now in your life as this happens. So it's kind of a big, fun time.
Yeah.
What else did you notice in the heavens?
Well, we're still feeling the station of Pluto from last week.
Yeah.
Because Pluto stopped and turned to go backwards. And that takes a while for Pluto to start moving again. So there's a real stillness around the energy of Pluto. And it's kind of... It increases the intensity. So we had intense Pluto, and that came along with earthquakes and volcanoes and rioting. So,
yeah, Pluto is definitely fun, and not when he's doing that kind of stuff, but he keeps us on our toes.
Right.
Yeah, and it's definitely
It's all part of the process. Whatever process it is, there's a phase for Pluto energy.
Mm-hmm. And he does take us to the underworld. We do kind of see things that we maybe didn't see before.
Right.
Yeah, and he's stationing at 15. So this activates the eclipse degree. This activates the Uranus-Pluto degree at March 15th. So, and as he turns to go away, he's leaving Uranus behind. Uranus is zooming ahead. And they're splitting up. You know, they're going their own separate ways to meet again in 30 years in an opposition. I mean, they'll meet for a trine, but that'll be fun. The opposition in 30 years. And that will, you know, this is our opportunity. You've evolved. You know, it either happened or it didn't. You know? And I'm kind of like, really? I don't have another Uranus-Pluto square? I kind of was getting, they were getting to be fun, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, nope, you know, you're done. You're as cooked as you're going to be. If that last wing didn't form out of the caterpillar's cocoon, you are now a crippled butterfly, you know. But if it did form, your wings are drying and you're getting ready to take off. So that part's fun. And I do think with all these out-of-bounds energies this next month, it's going to be really full steam ahead. Because Venus right now is ruling both ends of the nodes of fate, because Mars answers to her and the Sun and Libra North Node answers to her. So it's an interesting energy. And a lot of Neptune this week, too, you know. What do you think that's going to show up as?
Well, it usually has to do with water, sometimes too much water, sometimes not enough water. And it also often has to do with oil and, all of that. kind of stuff. Pluto can have to do with oil too. It sort of depends on what kind of oil we're looking at and what the issues are. But often Neptune, especially Neptune with underseas oil. So, though that can be Pluto as well. Yeah, I think they're both actually involved. But, yeah. And also Neptune rules the imagination. It also rules imagery. So things often happen with film and the arts, any kind of artistic endeavors usually get highlighted when something's going on with Neptune.
And really become a force to be reckoned with, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, they just opened the new museum downtown. And I was reading something about, somebody just sent me a thing about, you know, there's been a lot of art in the news lately, for whatever reason. So, and then last week they killed off, you know, McDreamy on Grey's Anatomy. And everybody was very upset. But it was, you know, it was an interesting, you know, like the character had been around for 11 years and we just took him out in a car crash. Mercury, Mars on the world axis trying to Pluto. Right, so.
Okay.
I was like, wow, they killed off that guy? So.
Yeah, but 11 years is enough, I guess. You know.
Yeah, he had a contract renewal, but he was getting divorced from his wife, so I guess, you know, changing the home, changing the career, time to go, and off he went. So he got killed off. Shonda Rhimes killed him off, so.
Yeah.
Dead in the car crash.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of, you know, and it is Jupiter, you know, and he was like, I'm grateful for my character. I'm going to go race cars now, you know. So it's kind of an interesting time. And interestingly, I looked at their charts. They were both born on the same day.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Same day, different year. But they're both Capricorns, so.
Huh.
That was kind of interesting. So.
Wow.
But yeah, I think that's causing a lot of internet crazy, you know, like, how can you kill off McDreamy? Which is interesting, you know, I mean, I remember I had a client who was really quite enamored of him, and whatever. He's not here anymore. Yeah.
No, that's it. Maybe 30 years he'll be back.
Yeah. Well, you can still watch, you know, 650 episodes of him or whatever, which is a lot. Yeah. Which is a lot of episodes. So, yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And what else? Anything else we should look at?
Well, I think the moon in Virgo was yesterday and today, so it's been busy, bustly, busy, bustly. And then tomorrow it goes into Libra. And it's in Libra on Thursday and Friday, which is partner, 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 partner. And then it's void on Saturday, which is nice. But, it's nice aspects. For, you know, Thursday, Friday, with nice aspects for yesterday and today. And then on Sunday, it's got crabby aspects on that full moon. Got an opposition to Mars, moon opposite Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Moon in Scorpio opposite Mars. And last month when the moon was in Scorpio, it was opposite Venus. So it's kind of like a part two. So, I'm not really looking forward to Saturday and Sunday and Monday because they're a little harder. And the energy is a little harsh, but... what are you going to do? That's the way it is. So, and I think there's some Neptune this week, too. Sun aspects Neptune, I think. Let me pull up my chart and look. Yeah, and there's a finger of God,
week?
Too. Huh? Pardon?
Is that this week or next week, the Sun Neptune?
The Sun Neptune's this week. Sun is 837, Neptune's 1970. I mean, it's a sextile, but it's a, you know, it's an opening sextile. So that's back to the dream that you had when the sun was in early Pisces around April 20 or March 20, February 29th, I guess. Yeah, around February 29th, and you had a dream then, and now you're actually starting to put some roots and grounding to it. Which is helpful. Oh, and Mercury goes into Gemini this week, too. I forgot that. Which makes him much more tricky and fun.
Yeah.
But we have, Mark, did you know we have 67 days of Gemini, Mercury?
Because of the retrograde.
Because of the retrograde. I'm like 67 days of Mercury in Gemini. Oh, my God. And also out of bounds. And not just out of bounds, retrograde out of bounds. Oh, it's going to be fun.
Wow. Yes,
oh,
yes,
it's going to be fun. Back up your data files starting now. Yeah, trickster galore energy. I just was like, you're kidding, really? But yeah, 67 days. I was working on something today about that and went, wow. And this week Mercury opposes Saturn, so there can be a separating energy on the weekend. That was the other thing with Mercury opposite Saturn. So, but yeah, it's good. All to the good. It helps us evolve. And it's really, you know, I went to the Death and Dying Conference last weekend. We probably didn't get a chance to talk on Tuesday, but it was really good. The Open Center sponsored it, and they had it at the Open Center, and then they had it at the New Yorker Saturday, Sunday, and then it was back at the Open Center on Monday. And it was really interesting. It was, you know, there was all different kinds of people presenting, but it was very fascinating to kind of listen to people who work with death a lot, and the whole idea of holding the rebirth of life, you know, kind of that the ending begins the new beginning. And you know, and Thomas More came. He's the guy who did Care of the Soul, and he's a Libra with a Scorpio rising. And he'd been a monk for 12 years when he was young, and you know, he's written like 20 books. But he was talking a lot about caring for your soul, and that the soul was the moon. I mean, when he was describing it, he was describing the moon, and doing the things that the moon wants, that the moon craves, actually feeds your soul. And that soul is an earthy matter. It's a grotto. It's going into a kefir. It's going into an underground cave. And spirit is a steeple on a church, which goes up into a tiny point and vanishes into the air. And then he said, you know, if you ever watch people praying, they look up, right? The spirit goes up, but the soul is down. The soul is of the earth, and the soul needs to be fed and nurtured to really be able to be fully human. It was a really interesting series of lectures. And there was this one guy who played beautiful music. And he had this tape of New York in a cab, with somebody in a cab in New York, and kind of going by, and it was very racky, you know, kind of music. And then he played the same scene again, but with a Bach concerto. And it was like, dum 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 dum, and everybody's waving and happy, whereas before it had felt very aggressive based on the music. So he was talking a lot about the role of music in healing and the role of music as a way of helping us connect deeply into our soul. And so the Neptune Sun this week, you know, when you're feeling a little jangly with the Pluto station or the Uranus station, it was really a reminder of, okay, how do you nurture your soul and ground it and make it feel cared for, loved, taken care of, which is your moon, doing your moon, doing what makes your moon happy, and that nurtures your soul. And then spirit, which is your desire for connection to divine, is like a whole different energy. But that the soul kind of, you know, there were all these people talking about near-death experiences and the body's taking off, and the guys from NYU who did the LSD experiments were there talking about if you take one dose of LSD, you have no death anxiety for 6 months.
Oh, really?
I was like, oh, really? That's cool. Well, yeah, you know, they're giving it to people that are dying and saying that so that they aren't scared to die. Yeah, it was a really interesting conference. So, but I was very much aware of, you know, it's like death conference in spring, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's good timing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's because in the spring there's the renewal of life. Yeah.
Right.
That was kind of cool.
So
I had
good.
Fun. Yeah, learned a lot. And, you know, I have a lot to digest and a bunch of stuff to read and, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
More books for the library. All right, so let's put out our call number. We do have two callers on the line, so well, I guess we don't even have to put our call number out because we have two callers, and we have 10 minutes left and no Heather. I think she said she was in Albuquerque or Santa Fe.
Yeah, she's, I think, north
on the road,
Santa
right?
Fe somewhere. Yeah,
yeah.
She might be in some valley up in the mountains or something.
Mm-hmm. Camping. The girl camps. I'm always impressed. She's a camper. I gave that up after being a Girl Scout, but I used to camp. There was a time when I slept on the ground with bugs, but now I don't do that anymore. I guess there's no bugs if you have a camp bottom and a good sleeping bag. All right, so let's call on 323-620. See if I can get them up.
Good evening.
Hello. Hi, 323. Hello. You're on the air. How can we help?
Well, I have a birthday coming up on Saturday, May 2nd. And
okay.
I've been reading your blog, Annie. I got introduced by the lovely Daniel Laporte. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should be excited or scared with all these out-of-bounds planets.
It's a big year. What's your birthday?
May 2nd, 1967.
Okay. And what time?
5:07 p.m. Chicago, Illinois.
Okay. And are you still living there?
No, I live in Los Angeles.
Okay, cool. All right, and so your question is, what's the theme for the birthday?
I think
cool.
So. Yeah, it's been an interesting but rough couple years.
Yeah, yeah. And are you going to be in LA on your birthday?
Yes, I am.
All right, so let's look at Los Angeles on your birthday. We'll do a solar return. What happens on your birthday is the sun returns to the place it was when you were born. And so we look at that chart to kind of get a picture of what your year ahead is going to be. So let's just peek and see what you got coming up. So May 2, 1967, Chicago, 5:07. So your birthday this year is May 2 at 5:41 in the morning. Okay, so that's the time you're born in California. And it's a big creative year for you. The sun is ruling your fifth house of creativity, and it is square to your Jupiter. So it's got a lot of abundance in it. Sun and Mars are in the first house, so it's very much a year of you saying, okay, this is what I want, and I need to go get it. So that part's helpful. It does look like your crappy transits are over, which is nice. And they were pretty bad. But you're done with them, so that's good. You do have one last thing to let go of, which is not, it's actually happening right now with Uranus opposite your Mars. So, and, of course, Mars in Libra doesn't always like to let go of things, neither do Tauruses. And you were born on an eclipse, so being born on an eclipse as a Taurus is always even a little extra harder to say, okay, let me let this go. Because Taurus is, my friend Virginia always goes, you have to pry my fingers off of things. But you have finished your Uranus-Pluto square, except for that last Uranus opposite the Mars, which is now, happening now. So that's like ending some relationships with people that you're finished with. And then you're done. And then your birthday this year is very much focused on creating new relationships, bringing in new people in your life, and creating love or creating some kind of creative. Do you work in the creative industries or in the creative field?
Well, it's interesting because what you're saying is giving me extra fire. I have written a television show, and I am so determined to sell it. I wrote
mm-hmm.
it 3 years ago, and it just didn't happen. And
mm-hmm.
starting in February, I just started hearing this voice of, I think you should try again. And
mm-hmm.
so I've dusted it off, and I'm getting myself in the headspace to go out there and start pitching it again.
Okay. Excellent sure. time to do it. Yeah, because Saturn is squaring your moon in the fifth house of creativity all summer long. So I would keep pitching until we get to beginning of September, because it should sell in probably mid-August, I would think. But I would definitely get it out there.
Okay.
Mark, what do you think?
Okay.
Yeah, definitely work with that and see where it goes. And I'm still looking at your chart. Yeah,
is there anything in the chart that would indicate if I would better partner with a female or a male collaborator?
Well, you're double male, right? Your rising sign is male and your moon is male and your sun is female. So you kind of think like a guy, and I don't mean that in a mean way. So guys are maybe a little easier for you to get than women. Not to say you don't get women, but all your feminine planets are masculine signs, and you're the only feminine. You know, your sun is in a feminine sign, but all the other planets are masculine. So your Mars is masculine, your Venus is masculine, your Moon is masculine, your rising sign is masculine. So you think like a guy pretty well. You know, you can kind of do guy thought pretty. You know, it's a little easier for you to get them than women. Does that make sense?
You know, it's such an interesting. I never knew that about my chart. It's a dichotomy because I think I look very girly. I'm, you know, petite,
oh, yeah,
blonde.
Mm-hmm.
My Libra rising stuff. But you're absolutely right. I'm ambitious and I want to get stuff done. And I find that some of my girlfriends are like, "You're too ambitious. You're too ambitious." Which is why I love Danielle, because she's just like, you know, go out there and do it. So that's really insightful. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, yeah, and you are ambitious. You got Mars in the first house, so it wants to partner because it's in Libra's sign, but it's in the first, so it's going to go. And it's like, I got to go and do this. And it trines widely your Moon, but definitely trines your Venus. So if you can find, you know, if you can find a woman who thinks like a guy, partner with them. Otherwise, guys are usually easier for you to partner with. Not in a bad way. They're just kind of, you just think like them, you know, and they're not going to.
Yeah, it's you have more of that kind of cardinal way of going about stuff, you know. You're willing to take responsibility and just grab something and go.
Absolutely. Well, interesting. In my love life, has always been quite volatile. So, in that way, I don't necessarily. It's not that I don't get guys, but I don't know. Do you see volatility coming up in my love life, or are things starting to chill out as I get older?
Well, what happens with your love life, at least as I would look at it, if you know you were saying to me why is it volatile? Your Venus in Gemini is squared by the Pluto and the Uranus, right? So that automatically gives a square is an active energy. So while you are, you know, and I don't mean this in a mean way, while you're a girly girl, and you're pretty and you're flirty and you're this, underneath, you're tough, and they kind of go, "You're not girly girl," and you're like, "No, I'm really pretty tough," and they go, "Oh," and then the volatility. So what you want to do is show them the tough early on, right?
Uh-huh.
So that they then know, "Oh, you're a girly girl, tough girly girl, got it." You know, because you look, you totally unwrap differently than you look. You're an unusual present, is what we would call you. So the volatility is not a bad thing. It's just, it's because what they thought they were buying or getting or picking or whatever, when they bring you home, they go, "Wow, you're actually pretty feisty." And you're like, "Uh-huh. You know, is there anything wrong with that?" And they're like, "No." And you're like, "Oh," you know. And so your chart kind of is like, because it's, you know, they fall in love with the rapture kind of thing. So it's not bad. But, yes, what you have to do is show them early that you're strong.
Thank you for that advice. I wish I would have called you years ago. You're reminding me of a boyfriend that said to me once years ago, "When I come over, I don't know if I'm going to get Paris Hilton or Hillary Clinton." And I said, "Which
do you
prefer?"
And you're like, "They're both."
Yeah.
"I'm both." Yeah. Mark?
Yeah, definitely. Well, and you like being able to switch and change and surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's all part of the way it goes. And it goes okay for you. It's not.
Well, good. Well, this has been really helpful. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, and happy birthday.
Thank you so much, and have a lovely evening. I know it's late for you guys out east.
Yeah, well, we're at the tail end of the show, so we're heading off into riding off into the sunset. But yeah,
okay.
It's just understand that, you know, both of those planets really want to express themselves, and it's a great time to remarket. So I would totally dust it off and send it off into the world and have it find a new home, or find a home.
Well,
I guess
it
didn't find a home.
Thank
anymore.
You so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for the inspiration.
All right, off you go.
Okay.
Good.
All right, so that's it. We're done. End of the show. Another episode under our belts. And
right, and remember,
this is Ann Ortley signing off in New York.
Planning. in Marpold, New York. It is the season for planting. So
right, it is the season for planting. And reminding, Mark and I speak on Tuesdays at Access Astrology on at the Enter Through the Open Center at the Church of the Transfiguration. So stop by right. 7 to 8, $5. You can talk astrology with us. So,
okay.
And we'll be back next week.
Very good.
All right. Take care.
You.
Bye.
Bye now.